South Rainbow, Nevada's number one Chevrolet volume dealer. Find new roads.
Live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump's afternoon news conference was abruptly ended this hour.
Going to be topping records hopefully soon. Excuse me?
A Secret Service officer tells the president outside, after which the president was escorted from the podium with no explanation. There are unconfirmed reports of suspicious activity outside the White House. Again, the White House apparently has been evacuated with unconfirmed reports of suspicious activity outside. Chicago has been rocked by vandalism and looting this morning that may have been tipped off by a police-involved shooting.
According to Chicago police, shots were fired and officers returned fire, but no officers were injured during Chicago. Hundreds of people smashed windows, looted stores, and clashed with officers in Chicago's Magnificent Mile shopping district and other parts of the city. Earlier in the evening, dozens of faced off with police after officers shot and wounded a person in the city's Inglewood neighborhood about 10 miles away. People smashed windows at a Tesla dealership and a bank and were seen going in and out of stores carrying shopping bags full of merchandise. Authorities attempted to prevent travel into downtown, suspending bus and train service, lifting bridges over the Chicago River, and state police blocked expressway ramps. I'm Jennifer King.
Both sides of the congressional aisle are accusing the other of political gamesmanship as the Senate continues debate over the next coronavirus relief bill.
Leader Mitch McConnell, Democrats believe they have political leverage over the president.
And so they're willing to personally increase the pain for vulnerable families unless they get on matters not related to COVID.
Not true, says Democrat Charles Schumer.
It's not a political position. It's what our country needs.
Schumer accusing Republicans House of downplaying the hardships being felt by American families. Bob Agnew reporting.
And President Trump is now back at the White House continuing his conference. This is Town Hall.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments, a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring. But one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
At Castle Insurance Group, their mission is to make life easier for you and your business. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Instead of you taking the time to hunt down the best prices for your homeowners, auto, and business insurance, the pros at Castle Insurance Group do all the hard work for you, and it won't cost you a penny more. The folks at Castle Insurance Group don't represent just one insurance carrier. They can look for the lowest prices and best coverage from a host of carriers. Name brands like Progressive, Nationwide, Travelers, Safeco, Dairyland, and many more. At Castle Insurance Group, they make buying insurance easy. Just a 10-minute phone call with a Castle Insurance Group representative, and you can get the lowest rates and the best coverage. You kick back and relax, and they do all the heavy lifting. Call my friends at Castle Insurance Group, 702-714-1060. Remember, the quote is absolutely free. That's 702-714-1060. One more time, 702-714-1060. That's Castle Insurance Group.
It's 3:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Law enforcement will tell you there's no such thing as a routine traffic stop. which certainly was the case over the weekend. Metro stopped a vehicle Saturday night near Palace Station and found a small amount of meth, $45,000 in cash, and multiple cards from the Nevada Unemployment Office under various names. The vehicle's occupants were arrested, and Dieter is investigating the suspected unemployment fraud. Well, gridlock on the 15 headed back to Southern California on Sunday has been a thing of the past until yesterday. Transportation officials say there was a 7-mile backup on the 15 yesterday afternoon as people were headed back to California from Las Vegas. Officials say traffic volume has been creeping up since the casinos reopened back in June. Add Frontier Airlines to the list of businesses getting ready to furlough employees. The airline has been notified that local officials will be laying off some 245 employees as early as October 1st. Well, for movie fans, some local theaters are about to reopen. Century Theaters say they'll be reopening their businesses again this Friday, which includes the Orleans, Samstown, Santa Fe Station, South Point, and the Suncoast.
KCQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
Now we're getting some moderate flows on the Beltway right now. You'll tap the brakes there, 215 west at Valley Verde, east 215 at Green Valley. The construction continues there on St. Rose at the 215 and overnight roadwork. That's 15 north at Silverado Ranch.
Gather around. Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one. Time is running out. Number two. Time is running out. Number three. Time is running out. Number four.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. Man, it is good to have you with us on this Monday. There's been a lot of news being made, but the latest news occurred about 10, 15 minutes ago when there was a shooting outside of the White House, outside of the White House grounds, and the president was escorted away from the podium. He was just beginning his news conference. And it was abruptly ended. Very bizarre. One suspect taken to a Washington, D.C. hospital. We don't know of his condition. We don't know what his grievance was, if there even was a grievance. Tell you what, let's do. Let's check in with Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And it's not often you have two shots fired outside of the White House, but it happened just about 10 minutes ago. What do you make of that?
Well, obviously, we hope everyone's okay, and hopefully, there's no other incidents involving the president or anyone involved in politics. I mean, it's always unfortunate when you hear about, you know, things like this, whether it's the shooting at the baseball practice or the shooting of Gabby Giffords. I mean, we want everyone to stay safe.
Well, and it comes at a time when we are seeing an increasing level of violence in our country. Last night, you had a riot declared in Portland. Even today, this morning, like mid-morning, there was still looting going on in the what they call the Miracle Mile in Chicago. And you've got a lot of violence and that kind of stuff going on. Is there a message here? I mean, when violence can come so close to the president of the United States.
Well, I guess I guess we'll find out. I mean, the president was in the briefing room, and the shots were outside the the White House. It doesn't seem like he was in any immediate danger. I mean, obviously, we don't know what kind of threat was posed, and I'm sure there will be a full investigation into everything. So I think it's hard to generalize from one incident. Usually,
let me just ask you though this whole notion. In fact, one mayor came out today, I think it was, saying that all this proves is that we need more gun legislation, anti-gun legislation. And I'm just curious if the left now is going to turn all this violence from Antifa into something to work in their own favor when it comes to gun control. Is that where we're headed?
Oh, well, I mean, anytime there's a shooting, unless it's a gang-related shooting, that's immediately where the debate goes. And the only reason not with the gang-related shooting is the media just doesn't talk about those as much as they would in other circumstances. This is the Democrats' default position. This is what they want. And, the famous Rahm Emanuel quote, don't let a crisis go to waste. And that's what they do.
I'm curious, though. Portland is an interesting situation where they're still having violence, and we're like 10 weeks into this thing. And we thought we had an agreement between the feds and the mayor and the governor to essentially send the mobs home, but the mobs aren't leaving. The mobs are staying.
Well, I mean, this idea that, the Antifa mobs in Portland were only upset because federal troops was there, it was never even credible from the beginning. They had been rioting since the weekend after the death of George Floyd, and there are federal agents at the courthouse, but they didn't have this kind of more robust presence for a few weeks. And they're up to, I mean, it's like 73 or 74 straight nights of rioting. And again, you know, 20 to 30 of these riots happened before the feds even showed up. So to think that, the feds, pulling back, and it's not that they're leaving, it's just that the Portland police is now doing their job and protecting the infrastructure. And to think that, that was really the cause, I mean, it's just insane. I mean, it'd be like saying, a criminal saying, well, I only committed a crime because I saw the cop in the neighborhood. Like, well, the cop leaves, and I mean, criminals still gonna commit the crime.
But Victor, we're now starting to have the mayor of Chicago, the mayor of Portland, and others that are starting to come out and almost as if they've created a Frankenstein that they can't control anymore. But they're coming out and starting to talk about these being felonious, that they're criminals. And not that they're peaceful protesters or any of that stuff. Is it possible that maybe the worm has turned and we're going to have some of these liberal politicians, these liberal Democrats, start to turn on the mob?
Yeah, I think actually that's a really astute observation. I think, at the beginning you could kind of say, look, there's all these people upset about George Floyd, and then there's these few, just a couple. I mean, not really, but with the media's help, you can kind of downplay the violence. And now it's been going on for so long, there aren't these big widespread protests over George Floyd anymore. When people are out there, it's Antifa. What happened in Chicago sounds like it was involved bad information about an officer shooting. And I think, people, whether they're political or not, or whether they like Trump or not, are saying, look, I mean, our neighborhoods are burning. Our streets are burning. And you're okay with this? Well, if you're okay with this, I mean, what other option do I have? I've got to go to Republicans. And so I think, that some political reality is starting to set in, and you're seeing the mayors, just like you said, start to condemn this.
Well, and it's not only the mayors in some of these communities, but John Q. Public. Let's go to cut five, because I want you to hear a montage that Fox put together. Cut five, that Fox put together. Portland residents, after 10 weeks of violence, they did kind of a man on the street, woman on the street deal. And this is what they came up with. Listen to this.
It really feels like a war zone. Out of nowhere, you feel like you're in a zone war. that it is very, could be very unsettled, very violent, and very scary.
Scary. You know, we're not sure what is going to happen. So, and just the destruction.
It is a minority group of the protest, mm-hmm. and the unfortunate part is that everyone's latching onto the supposed violence as opposed to raising questions on police brutality and standing up for Black lives.
When I see people coming out trying to, you know, in essence, murder people, trying to burn down buildings, all it does is hurt the cause of equality in this country.
Watching the news on my phone every night, watching them burn and destroy the downtown just breaks my heart. It makes me sick.
I'm surprised, I don't know about you, Victor, but I'm surprised it took 10 weeks from all these people to come out of the woodwork and start questioning this. It's like they sat home and it was like a reality TV show.
Yeah, that's just a great point. You know, I mean, and I think some of it has to do with the media coverage. I mean, if it was a Republican city on fire for 10 weeks, you know, it wouldn't have lasted this long because Republicans, you know, I think Republican mayors, governors would have taken care of it. But there hasn't been this public blowback of what in the world is going on in Portland? Like, you turned your city into a war zone? Like, this is supposed to be one of the prettiest cities in the country.
It's the Rose City. It's the Rose City. It's beautiful.
And now it's dangerous just to even walk at night. And I mean, the picture last week or the video last week of the grandma standing in front of the police station and being, you know, yelled at and assaulted, had paint thrown on one of them. It's just vile. It's just disgusting stuff. And anyone to think that, oh, you know, these protesters are somehow, you know, protesting racial injustice. No, they're just thugs. They're just groups of thugs, and they're going to go around destroying things until the mayor or the governor gets their acting gear and says, no, you're not, and we're going to come at you with a superior force. And if you commit a crime, we're going to charge you, and you're going to go to jail. And until that happens, they just feel emboldened.
More with Victor Jenks, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We'll talk about his recent column, King Steve Sisolak. Oh, this is going to get good. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up as we continue. I'm Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us. It's Monday on AM 670 KMZQ.
Here's big fashion trend.
Masks can be a fashion statement.
It's true. I bedazzled mine.
AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio. Done right.
R&D has loved Las Vegas for over 30 years, and we're here for you if you need us. Construction hasn't shut down, and while you're safe at home, we can take care of those needed repairs. We can meet in your home and still keep a safe social distance. B&D Plastering, here for you. 702-644-8980.
There's a reason approved certified pre-owned Jaguars enjoy such an outstanding reputation. They were once new Jaguars. Hi, this is Ray DiNardi. With the 100,000-mile approved certified warranty, pre-owned Jaguars still have plenty of life left in the tank. They're like new in every respect and waiting to take you on many more exhilarating drives. Come find yours today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart, but our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit hammondfornevada.com/COVID-19. That's hammondfornevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Uh-oh. Prince Charming is at the door with a glass slipper. But you have an ugly fungal infection on your toe. See, you've been using that rotten... brand that just didn't work. Of course it didn't. It just sat there. But Cinderella knew better. She used Bye Bye Fungus, a revolutionary new treatment for those wretched fungal infections. Bye Bye Fungus is fast-acting and has been found by doctors to be a topical formulation that actually works. Bye Bye Fungus requires no costly office visits, painful procedures, and doesn't have the risks associated with expensive oral medications. It's as easy to apply as nail polish, and above all else, it's effective. So effective that it's patented. As Cinderella knew, this is the day to declare bye-bye, fungus. Remember, you can't hide a fungal infection in a glass slipper. Call 1-800-258-3635. That's 1-800-258-3635. Or visit us at byebyefungus.com.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycry and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
A&D has loved Las Vegas for over 30 years, and we're here for you if you need us. Construction hasn't shut down, and while you're safe at home, we can take care of those needed repairs. We can meet in your home and still keep a safe social distance. B&D Plastering, here for you, 702-644-8980.
Big name guests, the news of the day, mixed in with a diversity of opinions. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
So good to have you with us on this Monday. And, of course, Monday means Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. His column this week is absolutely incredible, essentially dubbing our governor as King Steve Sisolak. I want to quote from your column, though, because this, to me, is important. 27,800 people older than 75 died in the U.S., the week ending July 18th. Of that group, only 2,700 were coronavirus deaths. What was the point of your column this weekend?
Well, what I was trying to do was examine an idea that, a line that Sisolak shared at the end of his press conference last Monday, where he said basically he was struggling to balance everyone's health with economic well-being. And I just thought, man, that is just the perfect encapsulation of the mistake that he's making, is that he thinks he has to be the one to balance everyone's economic futures and health. And there's just no way that one individual can do it. And it's not even, saying that, oh, Sisolak isn't capable, but Adam Laxalt would be. No one is capable of balancing those priorities for 3 million people, because people value those things so differently. And I think one of the things that plays into that is people have this perception, or at least some people, that, everyone's dying from coronavirus. And so I just kind of wanted to share some perspective on, this is serious. I mean, I'm taking it, seriously. I'm not halting my entire life, but I mean, I think you should take it seriously. But it's not the black plague. It's not killing a third of the population. And you look at it and you say, high-risk group, over 75, 10% of the people that have died during, this week that I mentioned, was from coronavirus. And so there just needs to be some realization that, you know, people are not, you know, they don't have the same weight on how at risk are they, how much do they value their life versus, you know, or the threat to the potential threat to their life versus their business. And there's just no way for one person to do this. And I think that's been Sisolak's big mistake. And really, he's accumulated kingly powers for himself in telling people what they can and can't do. And I think it's a big mistake.
Well, and even when it comes to opening up the bars or not opening up the bars, the fact is he has forced some bar owners into spending hundreds of thousands of dollars allow for 15 machines on the bar. And then all of a sudden he said, no, you can't use those either. Then the Clark County Commission came forward and did what they probably should have done long before this, and that is say, hey, you want to take these machines off the bar and take them someplace else in your establishment and operate gaming that way. He could do it. But this, again, cost thousands and thousands of dollars that some of these bar owners don't have right now.
Yeah, I think this is the perfect example. I mean, we seem to have kind of be on the other side of the uptick here. You look at Nevada's numbers; they're still high, certainly, but they're actually trending down from where they have been. And Sisolak comes out Friday and basically says, "Look, if the numbers don't get way better, we're imposing new restrictions in Clark County." I mean, it's just crazy. It's just totally crazy. And you know, there used to be days when you know, we were a free country, remember that, and people could make those decisions for themselves. And I think what happens so much in the media and from the left is they say either you want a lockdown or you think the virus is pretend. And it's, no, there's a whole middle ground here where we acknowledge the seriousness of the virus and we acknowledge that people are adults and are able to make their own decisions and then have to live with the consequences of those decisions.
At his news conference, the president just alluded to the battle against the COVID-19. And one of the things he keeps saying is that we are making progress. We are making progress. Therapeutics, vaccines. We have three different drugs in stage three trials. What is your sense of where we are? Are we starting to turn the tide? Are we within a few months? Maybe 4 months, maybe 5 months, maybe before the election, of finding a cure for this thing?
I certainly don't think it's going to happen this year. I mean, I know that, the president would love it. Everyone would love for a vaccine to come out, but the speed of it just seems so fast. I mean, I think what we're really seeing is that, a contagious virus turns out to be really contagious. And so, you know, it ran through New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts in basically the worst way possible, where, you know, they had the huge spike that was exactly what we weren't supposed to have. They, came close to overwhelming their medical facilities. They had a lot of excess deaths, and especially nursing homes. And now you've seen a few months later that the places like the Southwest that didn't get hit as hard, there's an uptick in cases, which is exactly what we expected to happen once we reopened the economy. But the hospitals have plenty of capacity. And so I think this idea that, there's just this scenario out here where we do something and then the virus just goes away, I just think that was really naive. I mean, you look at Hawaii. Hawaii's an island, right? Perfect spot to guard against coronavirus. They're seeing exponential growth right now. And so I think, the bottom line is that the contagious virus is very contagious, and it's going to outbreak, and it's just going to have to be something that we live with and deal with and mitigate against the best way possible until we have a vaccine, until we have some sort of cure.
Let me just toss this into the mix. You got the Big Ten says it's not going to play football. The Mountain West is not going to play football. And I guess the inevitable question is, we've heard some talk that maybe some of these college football conferences might decide to play football in the spring. The National Football League has even, I think, toyed with that notion of playing in the spring. Are we going to be ready to do anything in the spring?
Well, I just don't think we know. I mean, I think the question is, I think for the football leagues, for the sports leagues, how do we get fans in the stands? Because even if they can pull off the games. You know, and maybe the television revenue makes it work out. But I mean, those teams still make just an enormous amount of money from having fans at the games. And so I'm guessing that, you know, as much of a part